I am joined by my colleague in banter, Matt Bellany. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So, Matt, let me take you on the emotional journey that I went on last night with the Oscars. Before the show started, I was thinking, you know, this is against all odds. They have every obstacle in their way. It's been the longest Oscar season in memory. People haven't seen the movies in theaters, if at all. And they're trying to put on a show. So let's try to be positive and supportive. You know, not necessarily my usual posture, but okay, let's try that. And then the show started, Matt. And they had promised big things. And, you know, halfway through the show, as you remember, I texted you and Caitlin, our producer, and said, do we even want to talk about this? Because it seemed to be not gelling. And then things got really crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate what happened to the producers and to the show, but clearly they had built up and made changes to the order of the awards in order to get a big emotional finish when Chadwick Boseman's widow got up on stage to accept his posthumous Oscar. Unfortunately, that didn't happen. Anthony Hopkins won, and the Oscars ended on this abrupt Sopranos style fade to black. Thanks for everything, but, you know, just nothing. And yes, we were all left with a gut punch.
Yeah, I mean, I do want to say that Anthony Hopkins did an outstanding performance. And as our awards analyst, The Hollywood Reporter, pointed out, you know, Chadwick Boseman was in Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which did not have a mark of destiny on it this awards season necessarily. And posthumous awards are not necessarily given automatically. There was some blowback, I think, unfortunately, for Anthony Hopkins, who was 83 years old, and it was 4 a.m. where he was in Britain. He did acknowledge the award this morning. Let's just listen to a little bit of that.
Good morning. Here I am in my homeland in Wales, and at 83 years of age, I did not expect to get this award. I really didn't.
And he did go on to shout out Chadwick Boseman. But what I have to say, Matt, is I'm a little mad at the whole thing because it felt that they were trying to manipulate, and it blew up in their faces.
Absolutely. And that's not the only change that I think kind of blew up in their face. I mean, yes, they had limitations imposed on them by the COVID restrictions. But I mean, think about this show. It's an award show. There was no comedy except for a very lame bit at the end where Glenn Close ended up twerking or
well, let me just cut in there and say, I think she executed that well and she was a good sport. However,
of course,
given that it was a scripted bit and then they raced through the in memoriam section so that you could barely focus on the names on the screen. And we lost a lot of really important people who are special people this year. What a terrible decision. And that is one of the things, again, where I feel like, what were you thinking? But go on.
Also, you know, this is a visual medium, the movies. And yet throughout the show, one after another, they chose to describe all of the nominees and their work without actually showing us anything. You know, they dramatically cut down on the clips that they show. They didn't do any of those explainer segments to show, you know, exactly how the visual effects were brought to life or any of that interesting stuff. It was just a lot of talking. And yes, the speeches were allowed to go on as long as people wanted, which did lead to some great moments. The director of Another Round had a very, very touching speech about his daughter who died, and some of the acting speeches were great. But do we really want to allow the sound guys to go on forever or the shorts winners to go on forever? It just led to a sluggishness that was essentially daring people to turn it off. The Academy, it seemed with this show that they just didn't care about ratings anymore. They said, you know what? The ratings are going to be bad. Let's do a show for the room and let everybody have their moment as long as they want. And we'll celebrate ourselves via talking, and that'll be it.
And Frances McDormand is left as the only person asking people to go back to theaters at this fraught moment in the industry's history.
Let's not give Frances McDormand too much credit, because after she won, traditionally you go backstage and do a little press conference. She declined to do that. And one might speculate the reason is because she didn't want to be asked about Scott Rudin, the producer who is under fire for bullying, who has her next movie. So, you know, she escaped any questions she didn't want to answer while also doing the one thing that might actually help get people back to theaters.
Yeah, she definitely did it her way. And another thing I'm kind of mad at is, you know, this was Chloe Zhao's year. And they moved the announcement of Best Director, which is normally towards the end. And then they moved the announcement of Best Picture. And if you wanted to make a bet that something was definitely going to happen, it felt like Nomadland was that bet for Best Picture. So you're taking the first Asian woman, the first woman of color who's going to win an Oscar for Best Picture, and making her the not even the penultimate event, but the anti-penultimate event, because they went then to the actors with the outcome that didn't work. So, you know, it just annoys me as somebody who was, you know, seeing this woman get the recognition she deserved. And let me just say one more thing about Chloe Zhao, which is that the government of China, you know, nursing its grievances and suppressing free speech, completely ignored a Chinese director winning Best Picture and Best Director. So I guess that I hope the people of China know this happened. I assume information has a way, but what a look for the government of China.
And she didn't even say anything remotely controversial that the Chinese government would object to. I mean, yes, they've had their issues with things in the past, but on the actual show, I mean, it was all about the film and her collaborators and you know, very, very general platitudes. It wasn't anything directed at the government.
Yeah, well, I'm sure the people at Disney, which had everything to do with her Marvel film that's upcoming, as well as this show. I mean, it was very clear. Don't say anything about whatever you do. Don't say anything about the government of China. Meanwhile, Disney, of course, decided that it was going to flack the heck out of its stuff to the point of product placement palooza.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting because as late as 5 years ago, there were rules in place that you were not allowed to promote other movies on the Oscars, and you couldn't even buy an advertisement for a movie during the show. Those rules have gone away, and I think it's probably a good thing that, you know, people who watch and like movies are going to watch the Oscars, so it makes sense to advertise to them. But what Disney did is they took it a step further. They actually had Questlove, who was the DJ for the night, do a little intro-outro to his own movie, which then they showed a trailer for, and that's a Searchlight movie that's going to air on Hulu, both owned by Disney. So Disney using its platform here, and now, you know, that's something that happens on a lot of shows these days, but you got to think that the Academy looked at that and was just, you know, doing a facepalm, because this is not supposed to be for any one studio. And because it airs on ABC, Disney took advantage and did it for not only that, but for West Side Story, the Spielberg film.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of facepalming going on generally. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, former editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter.